Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. My, but it's good to have you sitting in with us tonight. Call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on the air. This is the 21st day of December, and we are live and direct in the truth here tonight, praise Yahweh. And we're going to finish up and conclude this exciting series we've been in, Who is Ephraim in Bible Prophecy. Well, we think that we have established beyond a shadow of a doubt that America, the United States of America, is Ephraim, and that Manasseh is Great Britain. And we're going to go in and finalize and give you the climactic end of this series tonight. We're going to try to condense another 2 or 3 hours on this subject into less than 1 hour. We'll probably have about 50 minutes to really pack it in for you. And so then we've got exciting scriptures, revelations to bring to you and prove to you, praise Yahweh, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we have a covenant with our Maker. And ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is not a covenant breaker. He himself has never broken a covenant with a people that is obedient. Now, he's had to chastise the nations that has been in covenant with him because they broke his laws or they went a-whoring out from under the laws of Yahweh. Now, notice in Hosea that Hosea takes back his unfaithful wife in the 3rd chapter. Now, we're going to describe this unfaithful wife as America. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been established as the land of milk and honey. I have done proven to you that she is the most productive, the most glorious, the only nation, the only land mass in the world that has this great, great blessing bestowed upon it. And to think that America doesn't figure in to Bible prophecy would be insane madness or complete ignorance. So then we are going to look in especially at the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to read you all of the verses in the 3rd chapter. Then said Yahweh unto me, Go yet and love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of Yahweh toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love these flagons of wine. So I brought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and for a half a homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. This is interesting scripture, and you say, Pastor Buddy, what does that have to do with the prophetic utterance of America? Stay tuned. For the children of Israel, here we go, shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a terenium. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek Yahweh their God and David their king, and shall fear Yahweh and his goodness in the latter days. Now, ladies and gentlemen, everybody has got their eye on the sandbox of Israel, la, 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 land, and have forgotten this great prophetic promise that Yahweh would visit in the last days. Now, again, this ties in to the prophecies of Romans 11, and 25:26, for after many days, it says, you shall be visited. You shall return and seek Yahweh. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a great, vast awakening across America. The prophets of Yahweh that preach that America is the new promised Israel. We are actually proving beyond any reasonable shadow of doubt that we are the possessed land, although we didn't know it, although we have given away the store, although we have let down the hedge and let the enemy come in like a flood. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit, there is going to come a mighty sweeping, a mighty presence of eternal truth. The Shekinah glory of Yahweh is going to fall upon the mighty prophets of Yahweh. And they are going to gather the elect, the children of Yah, the birthright privilege sons, and they shall lead the entire 12 tribes back to the Father and back to the throne. His sons are his glory, now sharing his throne. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have a part in the last days that will be a time of Jacob's trouble. Now, for reference, see Jeremiah chapter 30 and read especially the 7th verse and through the 12th verse, and you'll get an understanding of why America is in prophetic prophecy and that Yahweh will, I repeat, at the last moment when it looks like all has failed, when it looks like there's no hope, when it looks like it's very dark and dismal, when there the prophets, the raging false prophets, are prophesying that God, Christ, if you will, is coming back to that temple in Jerusalem, that city of Sodom where he was crucified, when he doesn't dwell in temples made by hands. This is a deceitful practice, again, of those that call themselves Jews and are not. Now, they're very dedicated and very loyal to this because it has been appointed unto them to receive a strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned, and all those that believe the lie shall be caught up in this mass confusion, if you will, and they will kill you at the time will come, thinking that they're doing Jesus Christ a service. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Satan, the real incarnation of Satan, the mighty angel, will incarnate to third-dimensional form, and he himself will sit in the temple that they build, showing himself that he is God. He will be the God of the Canaanites, and he will be the God of those that they and the Canaanites deceive, and we're literally talking about millions of Christians that run to and fro in those days, and they will gather up to them, and they will bow the knee again to the God of the earth, Satan, in the personage of Jesus Christ, as he sits in the temple, showing himself that he is Jesus Christ, the incarnate God, and many will be deceived. Now, what are you going to do in that day when, in the same chapter here, as we go into the 4th chapter of Hosea, I've quoted it many times. It needs quoting again. If you're there in Hosea chapter 4, please look at verse 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Remember the important scripture of the decline of America. You see why that we will lose our influence, why that we will be stripped of our glory, why that we will have this covenant tested, because Yahweh said, I will cause all of her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts, and I will destroy her vines, her fig trees. Wherefore she hath said, my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have opened our borders. We have made this land into not an Aryan Israelite haven, but we have made this a place for the beast of the field and the mixed races to come in and now congregate in mass majority. We no longer, ladies and gentlemen, are the ruling majority in the world. We, the white Aryan race, now less than 5 or 6% of the world's total population. We are in dire straits. And we will need a divine intervention at the last to enter in to save us or a flesh, and except that he shortens the days, there shall be no flesh of Jacob Israel left. And that is the diabolical plot, if you will, of the Canaanites who are gathering together for the last days, heaping up treasure, where that in the last days they will cast their silver and their gold into the streets, but it will not redeem them. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject you. You shall have no priest before me, seeing that thou hast forgotten Yahweh, and I will forget your children as they were increased, so they have sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I warn America. This is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. Take heed to a prophet that is crying in the streets without. I am not welcome in the denominational Christian organizations because my message does not fit their criteria. I am not in the norm or the political persuasion of the Judeo-Christian mentality. I am an outsider looking in. I am the square peg in the round hole of their tradition. I just can't fit into their mode of operation. Wherefore they shall eat and have not enough. I told you that hunger is coming to America where Kroger's will no longer be able to you. Have you ever noticed those little emblems on certain packages of food as you go looking for kosher style approved, and that the Jews have waxed rich by having this stamp of approval upon the certain products, and they get a percentage of royalties from this certain mark on the food packages? Well, ladies and gentlemen, you will eat the paper that they're wrapped in the days to come, and I predict that you may even, and I tremble to say this in awe and fear, that there may be a time coming when you have to boil your own babies in the coming years to survive here in America. You say, oh, you're just another gloom and doom prophet. Let me give you a prophetic utterance. In the last days, saith Yahweh, there shall come a time of trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30, again, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, and let me turn quickly to it to give you the utterance of Jeremiah chapter 30, and verse 7, alas, for that day, it is great, so that there is none likened unto it. It is even a time of Jacob's trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, the last part of that verse is the only hope that we have that he will save a genetic flesh as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We were down to 8 souls. Had it not been for Noah, the descendant, righteous in his generation from the sons of Shem, ladies and gentlemen, then that bloodline would have been trampled into the dust of eternity, never to raise again. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Once a seed or a bloodline is polluted, it becomes polluted, and it is no more redeemable. Why? Because it is a cursed seed that Yahweh cannot accept. Unless it is genuine, unless it is original, then Yahweh cannot receive it for 10 generations until that corrupt blood somehow miraculously is bred out of his existence. And when there's Cain blood in it, a Moabite or a Canaanite cannot enter the house of Yahweh forever. Now, it shall come to pass, Yahweh says, that I will break his yoke from off your neck. Now, that is a related prophecy back to Leviticus 27, where it says that the sons of Abraham in the Isaac seed and the Ishmaelite seed will have a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Now, if you go to Jordan now, where that the Arab race of the sons of Ishmael are there gathered, humped up and shivering by the onslaught of the powerful weapons that America has given these Jews, so-called, to bombard and kill the sons of Ishmael. Yahweh is not pleased, and he prophesied that Ishmael will break the yoke that is put upon them as a burden, and they for centuries, ladies and gentlemen, for the last 50 years, they have been under assault by this great, terrible power that we've created into the Middle East, and there they have enough nuclear weapons in their arsenal to destroy even America. Oh, my, my, you say, Pastor Buddy, that would never happen. They wouldn't turn on us, would they? Don't bet the store on that. Praise Yahweh. Now, let me give you a quick verse of scripture here that Yahweh says that in the 24th verse, the fierce anger of Yahweh shall return until he hath done it and until he hath performed the intent of his heart. Ladies and gentlemen, it's speaking about the time of Jacob's trouble. And it says, in that day, in the latter days, in the last time, in other words, you shall consider this. Now, Yahweh is raising up prophets, and they are preaching from the bottom of their heart. They are being rejected. They are being misused. They are being abused. They're being jammed. Their voice is being squelched and interfered with as they go forth in the last days trying to pry loose the ignorance that Jacob Israel in the stupor of drunkenness of Ephraim, as we now have got drunk on our pride and swallowed a pill of ignorance. And as the old saying goes, we've been beaten with an ugly stick, and in the sight of Yahweh, we stink in his nostrils. Why? Because we have broken every conceivable law that Yahweh has ever given to us. We have broke his feast, his Sabbaths, and all these things that Jacob Israel went a-whoring after from out from under the law. We are guilty. And as the prophet Isaiah cried against the sin of Israel, except Yahweh had left us a seed, we should become as Sodom and Gomorrah. And unless there was a covenant promise from Yahweh, Yahweh would end this thing tonight. This thing would be over, ladies and gentlemen. We are down the home stretch. We're coming down to the finish line. In the latter days, you shall consider this. There shall be a time of trouble. But notice verse 11 of Jeremiah 30. I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to save thee. Now listen to me as I give you the percentages of saved people. Only, now let me repeat this, only one-third of Jacob Israel shall be saved. The rest will be taken and destroyed with the beast and the false prophet, where Yahweh has appointed them a portion with the hypocrites, where they shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth because they have forgotten Yahweh. He will forget them, and because they have rejected knowledge, he will reject them, and they will become as goats in his sight and stink in his nostrils when they cry for mercy and say, well, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name, Lord? Oh, my, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get beyond Lord and God and get into the divine, holy, precious name and be washed and have our sins. Yes, all of Israel has sinned and come short of the glory of Yahweh. And the only antidote for sin is repentance and remission of sins, baptizing through water in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins. Now, I know that goes part on some of you diehard white Israelites that think that stick out your chest and crow like a toothless rooster as you sit in the barnyard cackling and clucking with tradition and the filth of the usury that you wallow in. My, I'm about to get pissed highly because I feel the indignation of the wrath of the holy Yahweh speaking tonight through the prophet that says they shall eat their own dung. You shall boil your babies in the last days, America. You say, oh, ho, ho, ho. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it will be a repeat, nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. When Yahweh sent the prophets into Judah and into Israel, they warned them of the incoming Exodus where Yahweh would drive them from the land and cause them to hunger and cause them to perish and cause them to have an enemy that would rule over them and whip them with chains and scorpions and whips. My, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, that's not slated for America. Listen to me, praise Yahweh, there will be a time of trouble. Matthew 24:22, read the scripture, if you will, a time of trouble. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have just given you instances where that Israel was so plagued by drought and by enemy and by these catastrophic events that they boiled and eat their own babies. Would you like to choose up which child you're going to eat this week? Well, stay tuned. We'll give you more of this horrible scene coming up on America on the Shepherd's Call. If you can take the heat, just stay in the kitchen. We'll be back in two. Yahweh bless. So welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard tonight. Praise Yahweh. We're into a good one. We're bringing her to an end. That is the prophetic utterance of who is Ephraim. Now, we are set for the defense of the gospel. We don't cull anything that wants to debate us on this issue and make it a public. We would need your name, address, and your telephone number to set this up. If you'd like to debate us on who is Ephraim, you don't agree with the scriptures, well, we need your two cents in here, and we are willing to pay the time for your efforts, praise Yahweh. We're going to Deuteronomy 33:16 to continue to prove or to nail down, to strap this once and for all to the truth. It's very interesting to note that Joseph was the only brother that was separated from his brethren. Deuteronomy 33:16 proves that modern Joseph also is separated from his brothers. Only Ephraim, the United States, is separated from the rest of the Aryan brothers by the Atlantic Ocean. Have you ever thought about that, ladies and gentlemen? We are located on the North American continent, thus separated, and as Hosea says of Ephraim, like a wild donkey, he will wander alone. In Hosea 8:9. Balaam, who looked down on the prophecy, said, I see a people who live apart, and let my end be as theirs, and do not consider themselves one of the nations. For who can count the dust of Jacob, or number the fourth part of Israel? Numbers 23:9-10. For therefore, then, the only nation that fits the bill here, ladies and gentlemen, is Ephraim. The prophet Isaiah inquired of Yahweh when he wrote, Ephraim is my firstborn. In Jeremiah 31:9, he was to dwell in the north lands and to the ends of the earth, in verse 8. He was to dwell in the isles afar off, in verse 10, and the coastlands, in Isaiah 49:1. What description better fits the United States with the longest habitable coastline of any on earth? It is the northern hemisphere, it is afar off, and it is at the end of the earth from Jerusalem, and is a long and valuable coastline like no other land, and it has all these combination of qualifications, none other than Ephraim, the United States. Now, When Yahweh scattered his people in 718 through 721 B.C., he drove them among the peoples of the earth. Listen, yet in distant lands will they remember me, he foretold, as he spoke through the mighty prophet Zechariah 10 and 9, whom they slew for his prophecies between the altar and the temple. But that blood, ladies and gentlemen, will be redeemed as will the blood come to shed of the righteous prophets when we shall receive the greatest persecution ever known to man. It's coming to a neighborhood near you. But he prophesied of them, stand alone and stand silent before me by yonder coastlands, and let nations renew their strength. In Isaiah 41 and 1, did not the United States get free from the yoke of European dominations and oppressions and the weakening influence of pagan religion, receive a new birth in a new land of pristine opportunity and magnificent wealth, free from the stifling influence of paganism and heathen customs until we got haughty and proud and return to the vomit, as the true proverb said. We return back by letting in the fox into our proverbial hen house. We have let them rob our lands, and we have reaped a whirlwind for our results. Now, the same Hebrew word, yam, Y-A-M, is translated S-E-A-N-W-E-S-T in Hebrew. Therefore, the islands of the sea or coastlands of the sea could be readily translated as coastlands of the West. Needless to say, the United States is the awesome coastland, and it has the most land area laying on the coast that of any nation in the world, and it is far west of Jerusalem, or is Ralai-Lai-Lai. Praise Yahweh. Isaiah writes, look, they are coming from afar, these from the north and the west, and these from the land of Shinnom. Isaiah 49 and 12, if you draw a line due north of Jerusalem to the north pole, and then due west, and follow both till they intersect, the section of a globe carved out would include Europe and North America, exactly where Yahweh drove his rebellious people into the earth to fulfill the prophecy that he would create literally a new Israel out of the wilderness in America. Now, the portion of the globe which includes most of the Israelish nations of the earth, the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Finland, Switzerland, Holland, Belgium, France, Spain, Portugal, and regions thereof, Hosea the prophet says, Ephraim feeds on the wind. He pursues the east wind all day. Hosea 12 and 1, we're talking about the mighty Atlantic where we fish and we have all of these great waters to feed the nations, praise Yahweh. The east wind blows west, ladies and gentlemen. Thus Ephraim was prophesied to move to the west of Jerusalem. The United States lies in part due west of modern-day Israel and Jerusalem, and Los Angeles and Jerusalem are at both the above 30 parallel of latitude. Is not the prophetic mind of the Creator what he had in mind for us, a new Israel carved from the wilderness, raising up, and for 200 years we have become the most awesome nation upon the earth? But the end is in sight. The decline, the demoralized nation, the nation that will turn hungry. You see, now we have been taken off our land. We are not self-sufficient. Now we're dependent upon Kroger's and other food chains by the international cartel of Cain to feed us. They are in control of the marketplace. And ladies and gentlemen, when they shut off the flow, then America will suffer and bow the knee to Baal. Those that will do exploits, according to Daniel chapter 12, it'll be a time when Michael will again have to stand up for the people of Jacob, Israel, America, the United States. This prophetic utterance is in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, and it proceeds to the time of trouble, which is indicated in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel. Ladies and gentlemen, and then in the 39th chapter, we have the conclusion where that we finally, by the miraculous movement, by divine intervention, oh yeah, these brave ones that wants to see the war come on, you won't be so brave so long when they feed you to the beast of the land, when they make a merchandise out of you, when they kill you and hunt you down as a common criminal. The laws of genocide are already in place, and they will execute them speedily. The concentration camps will hold you, and we talk about the slaughter of the Jews. In World War II, it will pale, and I repeat, pale, in comparison to the slaughter of the Western nation of America. Now, Hosea the prophet, and Yahweh says of his firstborn son Ephraim, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim, for I am Yahweh and not man. You see, he can't break his covenant. And the Holy One among you, I am, I will not come in wrath. They will follow Yahweh. He shall roar like a lion, and when he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. Oh my, Hosea 11:8 through 11 in the KJV. Now, let's carefully look at the map of the globe. We shall find the northern hemisphere and the western hemisphere. North America most perfectly fulfills the description of coastlands afar off to the north and the west of Jerusalem. To be candid, any reference which can apply to Britain applies with even more forcefulness to the United States. And to the far northwest from Jerusalem, we come to America's 49th state, the state of Alaska, the largest state of all. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are now coming up to a time of trouble. Notice in Joshua 17, verse 5, it is interesting to note that the fact that in ancient Israel, West Manasseh had 10 portions of Canaan. Joshua 17 and 5. Canada has 10 provinces. West Manasseh's land area was larger than that of Ephraim's. Similarly, Canada occupies a much larger land area than the United States. Thus, Ephraim and Manasseh are brothers living in territorial descriptive of the original plan. You see, we're just carrying it out. But let me interject real quick the 2,520 years of punishment. Now, it is said that the leader of the 10-tribe northern kingdom of Israel was the tribe of Ephraim, whose capital city was Samaria. The 10-nation kingdom went into exile in 718 B.C. and were occupied captured by the Assyrians of 1 Kings 17. They were to be punished 7 times for their sins in Leviticus 26:18, 21:24-28. A time equals a year in fulfillment of prophecy, according to Revelations 12:6 and 14:16. A prophetic year is composed of 360 days, and each day represents an actual year of punishment, according to Numbers 14:34 and Ezekiel 4:6. These are the codes. Thus, when the spies searched out the land of Canaan for 40 days, Yahweh punished Israel for rebelling and fearing to take the promised land by causing them to wander in the desert for 40 long years. Even so, then, 7 times punishment equals 7 times 360 days equals 2,520 days or years, for hence each day represents a year of punishment. Now, if we count 2,520 years from 718 B.C., we come to the year 1803 A.D. Did anything significant happen concerning the birthright promise that God made to Abraham during that pivotal year? Listen, in 1803, this would be a most important year in the United States, and the only thing which occurred during that year, in 1803, Thomas Jefferson, the President of the United States, negotiated to purchase the land of Louisiana from the French, and who suddenly became very anxious to sell, by the way, and the Louisiana Purchase has been hailed as the single most significant event in American history, as we opened through the Louisiana Purchase and went plumb in to California. Thus, we now become the richest farmland in the world, and we bought this land for a mere 3 cents an acre. Ladies and gentlemen, just like we bought Alaska from the Russians, we have made some very, very, very tactical, important moves in history, but in the last days, we are now giving away the house. We have let the fox into the hen house. But what is the significance of this great land? It occurred in 1803, exactly 2,520 years from the date of seven times punishment of 718 B.C. Take it from there, add it up, and you got proof that we are in the end of the age, praise Yahweh, when we shall once again undergo a great shaking. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a great reckoning. We are going to finally set up the kingdom of heaven. We are going to be operated and ruled by Yahweh. And we will not have a mere mortal sinful being or a king of mortal descent to rule over us. We shall abide by the laws of Yahweh. And ladies and gentlemen, if you won't abide by them now, don't think that you'll like them in the kingdom. If you ain't took on his name here, you won't have it there. You get ready, for the shaking is coming, and who shall be able to stand? Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call, and we conclude tonight adventures of 6 hours of teaching on who is Ephraim. I could really go 20 and get into this great thing I have enjoyed immensely. Now, if you'd like to have this six-series tape, simply for an offering of $30, you can get the six tapes. This is 6 hours of teaching for $30, and I'll pay the postage. Just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. If you'd like to call me and place the order, I would like to take it personally tonight and talk to you about some of these great promises that's coming around the bend. Praise Yahweh. Area code 423-626-2172. Let me talk about my sponsors, Dr. Gary, Dr. Jack, and we're talking about, of course, the producers of the product, or actually they mind the store here for me, praise Yahweh, and tend to the financial end of this business, and so we need your help. These are the guys that sponsor me on the broadcast. They are true brothers indeed of Jacob, and Dr. Gary, west of this mighty Mississippi. 877-289-7439. Order Miracle 2. Tell them you're doing it because you want to support the Shepherd's Call. That's a good reason, but you're going to get a fabulous product. And remember to order also the neutralizer that comes with it. Talk to Dr. Gary personally, and you'll meet a fine young man. This is a medical doctor of expertise, probably, that exceeds the average man, praise Yahweh, by far. Also, likewise, my good friend, Dr. Jack Souders at Andrews, North Carolina region. If you're in the east, dial 888-281-7320. And these are the men that keep me and my voice on Truth Radio. So, I need your help. Tell them, especially when you order the product, say, look, I'm ordering this in behalf of Pastor Buddy. I want you to know that I listen to him on Truth Radio live, and I want you to know that I support his ministry. Praise God, it would make me feel good, and I'm sure that it would make them good, as they would pass that information on to me, and then I can get a feedback of who's out there listening to the Shepherd's Call tonight. Well, it's been glorious, magnanimous, magnificent. Let me give you the conclusion of the matter. We live in a mighty nation that will have to have chastisement before we return back to the living God. We will have to be punished seven times as they were in the beginning. And now we're at the end of that age. In the latter days, we will go through a time of trouble. This will be the final purge, the cleansing. One-third of the house of Israel will survive and make it through the fire. Praise Yahweh. I want to be in that great number. I've been repented. I've been baptized in the great name of Yahweh. I hope you have. If not, Pastor Buddy's here at New Tazewell, Tennessee. The post office box is 2284 New Tazewell, 37824 is the zip. Telephone number 423-626-2172. Give me a call. I'd like to talk to you. I'd love to baptize you in the name of Yahweh. And that is why that I'm sent to preach repentance and remission of sins in the great, magnificent, almighty, precious, everlasting, all-powerful, glorious, magnanimous name of Yahweh. This is the name above every name. At this name, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Yahweh is the great eternal King, coming soon to a neighborhood near you to try you to see if you have put on the whole armor, to see if you have paid the price to wear the crown. Yes, you got to go against tradition. Yes, you got to quit keeping Christmas. These pagan days, Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 and 2 will explain to you why you're not supposed to decorate a tree. Ladies and gentlemen, I get so sick at Christmas seeing all this pagan idolatry as people spend more money to decorate their houses than they do to feed the poor. Ladies and gentlemen, if we had as much enthusiasm to return to the old path and keep Yahweh's laws and get away from this paganism, this show-off, this showboating, this styling and profiling, if you will, and this rap-slap that we've got going on today. It's hogwash, and it's paganism, and it came out of the pits of hell, and Yahweh, getting sick and tired of his people going astray, shall come to set the record straight, and Ephraim shall be chastised with the whip of the Almighty King. By enemies afar, they shall come and invade our country. They're coming from the north, ladies and gentlemen. They're coming across Alaska. They're coming in a flood. Look for them in the Oriental-style race. If this is the Cain race, if you will look up the word Cain in the Strong's Concordance Bible, you will indicate to you that it's an Oriental tribe. They're the ones that's coming. They're your mortal enemies, and they're used by the serpents who are mixed with the Israelites. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Cain seed mixed with Israelites. That's where they get their wisdom. That's where they get their knowledge. That's where they get their evil, by the bloodline of Cain in their blood. They are children of the darkness. They are wicked children with a diabolical plot to destroy the children of light. It won't happen anytime soon, but it will seem as it will, because except Yahweh shorten the days, there shall be no flesh saved. Well, we're down at the bottom. We are going to depart tonight. We will be back Monday night with our series. We will begin a new series. We will announce what that will be at Monday night show. Don't miss it. Why don't you do Pastor Buddy a favor? Just give him my address and my telephone number and pass it on and tell him that I'm on Truth Radio. This is Pastor Buddy with a Shepherd's Call saying, good night, Israel, and Yahweh bless you. Let's get together and let's get after the enemy. Praise Yahweh. Have a good one. We'll see you Monday night.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Standard Time on the